Good morning, Radhakala Chanji Dham. Good morning to all the assembled devotees. You can look at it as Krishna giving me another opportunity to learn myself. Very rarely do I do back-to-back classes, but Guru and Krishna obviously have a lot of faith in me. So I trust that whatever is spoken today, and it's a very brief shloka, will be of some assistance, will touch you in some way that Krishna or Guru wants you to be touched. Because understand, when you have an opportunity to come before the Lord, whether those curtains are open or not, the Lord is always present. Whether you have an opportunity to do it, Krishna is always there, and Krishna is always in the heart, and Krishna is always in control. So before we cover, I believe we're doing chapter 20, text 10, canto 11. We always like to get the mercy of Lord Krishna by singing Radha Madhava. And incidentally, it's very nice to have an audience in the morning. One that I can see. But then whether you see anyone or not, again, you are always surrounded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is constantly in the heart. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. 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 Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Natira Vanachar. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jararanjanan. Yashoda Nandana Jararanjanan. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. 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 Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Giriradhari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Natira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Tira
Yashodanandana braja jararanjanan. Yashodanandana braja jararanjanan. Yashodanandana braja jararanjanan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jaya Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jaya Radha Kala Chanji, Radha Kala Chanji Radhe. Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Jagannath, 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 Jaya Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jaya Baladev, 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 Jaya Jaya Baladev. Baladev, Baladev, Jaya Jaya Baladev, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Subhadra, 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 Jaya Jaya Subhadra, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Gornitai. Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Jaya Jaya Gornitai, 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 Jaya Jaya Gornitai, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, Haribol. Hari Bol, Nitai Goro Hari Bol, Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev. Guru Dev, Jaya Jaya Guru Dev, Jaya Jaya Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Guru Dev, Jaya Jaya Guru Dev, Nitai Goro Haribol, 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 Nitai Goro Haribol, Nitai Goro Haribol, Haribol. Haribol, Nitai Goro, Haribol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Radha Kala Chanti Ki Jai, Goro Premananda. It must be cold outside.
Always, because we are very special children of the Lord. It's always nice to start with some humility. And I'm constantly learning it. So I always say before a lecture that, and then after two sometimes, because I'm in a material body, we all are, so no one is perfect. So If there are any mistakes or anything misquoted or words not pronounced properly, blame me, not my spiritual master, because he taught quite well, as did his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. We are in the 20th chapter of Canto 11, and we're covering pure devotional service, text 10. It is a very brief sloka. It can last 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, based on the participation of those that are here. And whether you were sitting here or not, it would also be based on the participation of those that are here, because we're always among assembled devotees when the holy name is spread, read, or glorified. We always have assembled devotees around us. And I'll take the opportunity, which I don't often do, to try to engage those that are here in some part of the activity. So it will be, well, some part of the lecture. So it'll be as long as you want or short. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Gnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tashmai Shri Guruve Namaha. We were all born, but then personally I was born in the darkest of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge, and I always offer my most humble obeisances to my spiritual master. We'll do the word for word, and when we're reading from the shloka, if you were so inclined, you can repeat after we've read it, after I've read it for three times. Text 10, Canto 11, Chapter 20. Swadamasto yajanyagnir anishi kama udava nayati swaga narako yaryanyana samacharat. Swadamasto yajanyagnir anashihi kama udava nayati swaga narako yadi anyana samacharat. Swadamasto yajanyagnir anashi kami kama udava nayati swaga narako yadi anyana samacharat. Does anyone feel inclined to repeat the shloka? Swadamasto yajanyagnir anashikama udava nayati swaga naraka yadi anyana samacharat. Anyone else? Swadamosto yaganyagnar anashikama udava nayati swaga narako yadi anyana samacharit. Swa dharma, in one's prescribed duties. Staha, situated. Yajan, worshipping. Yagnai, by prescribed sacrifices. Anashikamaha, not desiring fruitive results. Uddhava, my dear Uddhava. Na, does not. Yati, go, swarga, to heaven, naraka, or to hell, yadi, if, anyat, something other than his prescribed duty. Na, does not. Samacharat, perform. Translation here is, my dear Uddhava, a person who is situated in his prescribed duty, properly worshiping by Vedic sacrifices, but not desiring the fruitive result of such worship, will not go to the heavenly planets. Similarly, by not performing forbidden activities, he will not go to hell. Again, translation. My dear Uddhava, a person who is situated in his prescribed duty, properly worshiping by Vedic sacrifices, but not desiring the fruitive result of such worship, will not go to the heavenly planets. Similarly, by not performing forbidden activities, he will not go to hell. And the purport describes in detail the translation. The perfection of karma yoga is described here. One who does not desire fruitive rewards for his religious activities does not waste time going to the heavenly planets for celestial sense gratification. Similarly, one who does not neglect his prescribed duty or perform forbidden activities will not be bothered by going to hell for punishment. Thus, avoiding material rewards and punishments, such a desireless person can be promoted to the platform of pure devotional service. Now, in chapter 20, we are being given a very good description of karma yoga, of devotional, pure devotional service, and the steps that are leading up to it. And I thought it would be a really good idea to take a look and see what Webster said about karma. And most of us initially coming in to the movement have a different interpretation of karma. But the nice part about being a devotee is that you get a more precise description of karma yoga. The previous chapter, chapter 11, was describing the perfection of spiritual knowledge, jnana yoga. We've already covered that, but with karma yoga, it gives a totally unique description. Does anyone by chance have a cell phone just to look up and see what karma, how karma is described in the dictionary? I thought I brought my cell phone with me, but I didn't. Or does anyone want to give an interpretation of what the English dictionary or Webster says about karma? This is open to anyone. Pretty much coming into Krishna consciousness, that was definitely the interpretation of karma for most of us. But the nice part about knowledge is that we are constantly learning and we are constantly growing, especially in this particular movement, not to say other movements are not, But in this particular one, we are constantly growing with knowledge. And just to give an overall description of what I saw, because every single one of you here will read the same thing, and chances are very good every single one of you will come up with a slightly different comment of even what's in the scriptures or what you've understood. So bear with me on this one. Karma yoga in the scriptures is described as regulated work. Many think that on the path of karma yoga, that at some point they will exhaust all of their desires. How did they describe it in the scriptures? Let's see. They'll follow this path, and it can eventually lead to liberation, but according to the scriptures, it can be dangerous because the material desires that we have, and especially in this material world now and in Kali Yuga, is constantly increasing, it's constantly changing, so there's no guarantee that if you're on the path of karma yoga, that eventually you'll exhaust yourself. It's dangerous because we end up going around in a circle from the next sense gratification to the next desire to the next. There's always something new going on. If you thought you've heard everything, take a chance, take an opportunity and listen to the news at least once a week. It's amazing, the things that are going on in the world. You think they couldn't be done, people are trying to do it. Suffice to say, or that is to say, that just staying on the path of karma yoga does not necessarily guarantee you, guarantee that you'll stop. Those that are on the path of karma yoga, there's a description also for them. They are still very much enjoying material society, material friendship, material love. There's nothing wrong with partaking of certain things in the world, but with discretion and with a limit to what you're doing. And the key word is material. You can have material relationships, and those are relationships that are going absolutely nowhere. They have a point to me. They have a point of, this is the association of mine, we're friends, and then after that, where does it go? Then where is it leading you to? At what point in life does it take you to? There is nothing permanent about it, yet we're so attached to it, as well as we are attached to love in our life, to that special someone, to that family member. They are not permanent. Before you came here to this world, you didn't even know your wife, your significant other, your son or your daughter, or your best friend. None of it is permanent. This is what you'll find most people that are practicing karma yoga attached to. Now, you're not beat up because of this, but you're to understand that there's something that goes beyond this. It's been recommended that those that are attached in this way, it's okay. Then it's recommended that they go to, that they stay in family life. No problem. But dovetail your activities, your labor, the fruits of your labor, to the Lord. Whatever it is you're doing, do it in the mood that you're offering it to the Lord. But keep in mind that as you're offering, your mood also makes a difference. You can make top dollar in the world, whatever that is now, and offer it to the Lord. But if you're not offering it with a mood of gratitude and the mood of some type of love, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters to you. I mean, you're giving, and that's good too. It's always good to support bona fide religious institutions. But what matters is the mood in which you're doing your job. Let's say you have a job where you're out in the public, and that means that you're interacting with others. Well, don't think for one moment that the Lord leaves your sight or you leave his. How you treat each other makes a big difference. We should be able to recognize a devotee just by his mood, his atmosphere outside of these doors. That devotee should be treating everyone as if, and they are, in the presence of the Lord. We shouldn't treat anybody differently because you weren't raised in the same household that we were raised in, yet what to say of being raised in the same country? We should be treating everyone as though we would treat the Lord, because ultimately that is the platform that we are gravitating toward eventually in Krishna consciousness. We're to treat everyone with the same love and respect that we would be treating the Lord, because after all, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means that we're all connected whether we like it or not. And at some point, you should kind of like it. We're all connected. So there is also a problem with talking the talk of a devotee, but not walking the walk. But before I go on, does anyone have an example of karmic yoga activity in Krishna consciousness? What would you give as an example of someone that is in the mood of karma yoga? Which would mean someone that's practicing, someone that's kind of attached to the fruit of activities of what they're doing. And they're offering it to the Lord. That's the important part about karma yoga. Anybody with any ideas on examples of what you've come across? Yes, Prabhu. Please introduce yourself again, because my memory is imperfect. Jaigopal Das? Yes. Good one. Anyone else? What I'm working toward is that we understand that if you are going to have the propensity for karmic yoga, there are Vedic instructions that are directly specific for that particular mood, and one should be following it. One should be following it seriously, because from that path, you have a greater chance of going on to bhakti yoga, devotional service. You have a better chance of being elevated to the platform of devotional service, and then from there to pure love of God. Now, in my brief time as a devotee, I have experienced very, very sincere devotees in temples across the United States, across the world. And this is just one of those, you know, be on guard and be careful situations where a person is practicing so nicely. You could set a clock by their punctuality in coming to the temple, maybe cooking, maybe doing very, very high service in the kitchen by pot washing. I fell in love to a degree with Krishna consciousness just by washing a couple of pots in the kitchen. Who would imagine? But the point is, sometimes we become so comfortable in doing certain things in a particular group of people that you have to be on guard. Keep your guard up that you don't slip. I've seen devotees, as I said, that come in and do very nice service. You can count on them. But the minute they think someone's back is turned, they're not 100% devotees or practicing according to the Vedic injunctions. One example is out east. It's a very nice businessman, and he brought a very nice amount of Lakshmi to the temple. Devotees really like this guy because, yes, they did need the Lakshmi. But I had the opportunity to work with this devotee in the Rath Yatra because I was on a committee for the Rath Yatra. And no matter what is going on, you should always be in the mode of, let's just say, Krishna consciousness, always in the mode. Krishna doesn't miss a trick. Whether you think he sees anything or not, we should always be operating in such a way as, what would Krishna think if he sees it? Well, he does, and if you do, he saw it. This devotee was serving very nicely, and things were going very quickly, but as I say, you don't have time to slip up when you're doing service to the Lord. And I had asked him, he and his wife, to do some seva, to serve out prasadam. And I remember him serving so nicely and transferring prasadam. Now, this may mean nothing to anyone, but it was very significant because in that particular moment, he slipped. He didn't know that we had different people that were helping us serve, people that were not necessarily devotees. And I guess he thought that the person behind him was just somebody that we had asked to serve. Well, you're not just a somebody. If you serve Krishna, you're important. I came up behind him by mistake. I think he must have tripped over something and fell back into me. And his response was horrible. And I looked at him. It's like, you don't recognize that you just spoke to a devotee in that manner. And he actually thought it was somebody else. There is no somebody else. Everybody is important to Krishna. Every single person is important to Krishna. And the horrified look that was on this devotee's face when he looked into my face, and I don't think he ever stopped apologizing, but the point is, when you take to Krishna consciousness, it is not just a fluke. It is not just, oh, this is just some activity, and I'll do it for a while. It's serious. You are progressing to the point where you are going to have a relationship with the Lord. So you don't play. And as I said maybe a week or so ago, when you're being introduced to a, let's say the President of the United States, the Prime Minister, the Pope, not everybody just gets in. You are checked. Now they're checking your credentials, your relatives, your past relatives, everything. And this is just to see people that are in political positions. We are practicing to be in a position to be in the Lord's association. So we shouldn't take anything lightly. Now, this probably is not connected to anything, but this particular devotee that I mentioned, I don't think he ever quite felt right after he did that because to him that was an offense. You're working with someone who's trying to serve the Lord and you're offensive to them. You are not offensive. You do not offend the Lord's devotees. Me, I blew it off. You know, you didn't realize what you were doing. But what happened, and as I said, it probably has absolutely no connection to anything. This devotee came down with the most unusual illness in a very short length of time. And eventually, It was something that they found couldn't be cured. And I remember I was somewhere else. I wasn't in the location of the temple, but I remember him reaching out and asking his wife and the family to contact me, because I guess he wanted to apologize again. But the point is, he had apologized. It was okay. But you just have to be careful, because you never know what type of offense you're going to make as a devotee, even practicing any of the yogas. The devotee eventually left his body. And I was heartbroken. I was in tears. I held nothing against him. The other part about being careful when you're dovetailing your services, where you don't slip up for any moment, that you're serious at all times, is we had another devotee, a similar situation, but in temples, you're going to have people that are off in different groups because they're still growing. You're sometimes a little sectarianism. No, it's not the best thing to do, but you're going to have it. Well, in this particular situation, he had garnered support from a particular group from another country, and he was thriving. He was bringing in sannyasis into the temple, providing elaborate meals. He was sponsoring the Sunday feast. How do they say it? He was a man on the go. He was going. But in the process of all the politics that don't belong in the temple, there was something going on. And I'm only speaking of me personally. I'm sure all of you, some of you have had an experience where someone has purported to be a devotee and they slipped. And I'm just saying, just be mindful. But in this particular situation, in the manner in which I was raised, my father had all girls, but he made sure that we knew how to survive in the world. So we were not the type, we were not powder puff girls, but we were not macho girls. The point is, we stood on our own. I'm saying that to say a particular incident took place in the temple, and very few people speak up when there's something wrong. If you are a devotee and you are in the presence of an offense that's taking place, if you do not leave, you should be speaking up, because if you don't, you are just as offensive as the person that made or that has created that offense. Well, anyway, long story short, I spoke up about something that I didn't think was proper in the temple. And this devotee that was so, and worship is probably a wrong description, but he was so admired in the temple, made the mistake of grabbing me to remove me from the temple because I was talking different from what he wanted to hear. Of course, I kept my calm, because even in my neophyte stage, I realized I'm still a devotee and Krishna is still in the heart, is Paramatma. So he doesn't miss a trick. Whether I do anything or not, Krishna's got my back. So we dealt with that, and time went on. No one addressed the elephant in the room or the situation that had occurred, because even in my married life, my husband never grabbed me in a physical way. And we should be very honorable to the women in our community and children. Very respectful. I don't think you can come across anything in the scriptures where Krishna was rude or offensive, if not being playful, to the gopis or to Radharani. He was never violent or offensive to them. And you'll find in most communities that if the temple is not thriving, look at how they're treating the women and the children in the community. And then keep in mind, men, in these bodies that you have, at one point you were in a woman's body. So don't be too far detached from what I'm saying. Anyway, the devotee went on to not only offend his guru, and my gosh, that is such an offense, to the point where right now somewhere he's in India with his wife. And I must say that the individual did at some point before things really got crazy with him, he did call back and he wanted to apologize, but it's also good to know why you did what you did, and I did ask him that, and he couldn't answer it. And that's the point at which he went off to India. The last anyone heard was that he was roaming the streets with his wife. His family was looking for him, and he had pretty much lost his mind. Now, I'm not saying that this is a scenario that happens to everyone. I'm just saying, in the mood of a devotee, if you're going to practice, thank you, Prabhu, Krishna consciousness. I didn't realize only I heard myself. Nobody else did. If you're going to practice Krishna consciousness, practice it honestly. Practice it sincerely. Practice it according to the Vedic injunctions. Don't try to rewrite it. Krishna is always there. Dovetail, if you are in the mode or the mindset of someone practicing karma yoga, dovetail your labor, whatever it is you're doing, to Krishna as though and as is, as it is, that Krishna sees everything that we do. Because it is by the grace of Krishna's mercy that anyone that's performing jnana yoga, karma yoga, or bhakti yoga, it is by Krishna's grace, you got to get a blessing, that you go on to sincere devotional service. Well, bhakti yoga is devotional service, and it's on the platform that elevates you to love of God. That's the path in which you have a better opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead. Now, earlier in the chapter, it said there were three paths: jnana yoga, karma yoga, and bhakti yoga. And you do have to have the blessings of the Lord. It is also important for those that have not taken a guru. It's important to have a teacher. Srila Prabhupada left a lot of instructions in his books, and they are excellent, excellent instructions. He also left teachers. Had they not been necessary, he would not have left them. But then that's something that can be debated. The point is, let's see if we can do this tactfully and then stay within the time frame too, because sometimes when, when a lecture's given, sometimes it's nice to give an example of what you're saying. Yes, we always stick to the scriptures. We don't try to change them, but it's good to give an example of it. Getting back to text 10, the point here, a very important point, was that dear Uddhava, Sri Uddhava, is being it's being explained to him that one who is situated in his prescribed duty, properly worshiping by Vedic sacrifices, but not desiring material or fruit of results of his worship, you're not guaranteed to go to the heavenly planet because you're doing that. There's no guarantee. But then again, similarly, by not performing forbidden activities, you will not go to hell. So there is some hope for those that are progressing from karma yoga to bhakti yoga, because bhakti yoga is the highest form of yoga, because it leads to love of God.
Because if you do not have love of God, you won't fit in the Krishna Loka. Those that are in Krishna Loka have developed love of God. They've developed some other personality traits too, which is why we're here and we're perfecting ours, because right now we don't belong. We have come down into this material world because we thought we were God. And we're getting a heck of a lesson to prove that we're not. Sometimes we need to bump our heads up against the wall a couple of times. But the point is, bhakti yoga is the highest form of yoga. You also have to have the blessings of the Lord even to proceed at that point. But love of God, the very personal relationship that one is able to have as a devotee, and we all have our own individual personal relationships with the Lord, is very important on this path of Krishna consciousness. It is a scientific process. It is a process that requires certain rules and regulations. Otherwise, what's the point? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. We're set, it's a foundation is being set. Anyone that's practicing any of those, you don't actually belong in the spiritual world, because that doesn't go on in the spiritual world. It's a totally different type of mood, the complete opposite of what's going on here, even to the relationship of love. It's going on the complete opposite in the spiritual world, and it's even better than we can possibly imagine. Also, as devotees, we should be mindful of our association, which we will never be able to say enough about. If you're in the association of someone who's a gossiper, then chances are you're going to be one too. If you're in the association of one that finds fault, picky, 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 just looking for some way to make someone else look smaller than you, you're going to become that type of personality. A devotee looks for the good in everyone, because there is something in everyone that's meritable. Even if you have to take a shovel and dig deep to find it, it's there. We don't put each other down. We are one big family. And that's a nice part about the Dom here in Dallas. I've discovered there's a nice core of devotees that understand the principles, and our responsibility is to take it out into the world, not just sit on it, and to share it and preach it. So at this point, one more thing. I always like to go back and repeat. The purport for text 10 is leading into text 11, which we should all be prepared to hear, whoever gives it. The perfection of karma yoga, which is described here, what I was describing earlier, the part about the fruit of result of such worship and not going to heaven, not performing forbidden activities and not going to hell. One who does not desire fruit of rewards for his religious activities does not waste time going to the heavenly planets for celestial sense gratification. That is not their desire. Similarly, one who does not neglect his prescribed duty or perform forbidden activities will not be bothered by going to hell for punishment. Thus, avoiding material rewards and punishments, such a desireless person can be promoted to the platform of pure devotional service to the Lord. And we'll end at this point. Anyone have any comments, anything you want to share, any corrections? If so, there's a mic floating around here somewhere. And again, as I said initially, if I've misquoted or misstated something, forgive me. It's not my spiritual master, Bhakti Tirtha Swami's responsibility, because he taught me as Srila Prabhupada taught him.
So I hope that there was something that was said that has touched someone or gave someone that aha moment and made them think a bit about maybe something that they've done in the past or something that they've seen done. And maybe it is going to push you in a direction where if there's a change necessary that you make it, because we're all growing. Every step of the way, we're all growing. And if not, we should find someone who is. We should be in the association of a devotee who is poised for positive growth and spiritual advancement. How will you know? You'll know. The Lord in the heart will direct you to that individual. For those that are listening and you've not taken Diksha, it is important to have a spiritual guide. So, Prabhu, were you getting a mic for comments or? Oh my gosh, we are having a faulty system. Okay. Prabhu, did you want to say something? And I'll just try to push the mic toward you.
Their fault that they see in themselves.
Good. Got it. Actually, because we are children of a very loving God, Father, Krishna is so tolerant of us. If we knew all the things that we did in previous lifetimes, we'd probably slap ourselves. We'd probably dig a ditch and jump in it. But the point is, there is always hope. Stay in the mood. Keep doing, performing devotional service. Also watch your association. What's important is that you be in the proper association of devotees that are going or desiring the direction that you also are desiring to go in. Krishna gives us many, many opportunities, and this is the one big opportunity that we have here in the material world, in the human body. There are so many other entities that are trying to come into this world to take the human form because it is the most perfect form to get back to the spiritual world. The fact that you're performing devotional service and you may not see any progress, Krishna must see some progress. Because keep in mind, he's in control of every single thing. Even though we're making decisions, it's Krishna's blessing and mercy that whatever it is that you're doing actually manifests based on your desire. There is always hope for devotee. There's old saying that we threw out yesterday. Even if you're not where you're supposed to be and you know exactly the perfect spot where you're supposed to fit as a devotee, keep doing it. It's called, in the old American term, fake it until you make it. Keep plugging away at devotional service. We all have our different levels where we propel off to the different platforms. Everyone is different. You may go through different challenges for a certain period of time. I may go through different challenges for a certain period of time. But only one of us at the time may seem to be making progress. That doesn't mean that all hope is lost for that other individual. Still keep doing it. You come this close, you don't want to go backwards. Whatever it takes to get you to your goal, focus on your goal, but also make sure your sadhana is good. Make sure you're chanting your rounds, that you're following the four rules and regulations, that you are reading, that you're hearing from pure devotees, from bona fide gurus. When you stay in that mood, whatever your time frame is, it will gradually happen. I've been a devotee for, many years. Over 20 years. No, yeah, more than 20 years. And For that time, for the initial time, I was just coasting. I was doing a particular service, and that's as much as I wanted to do, and that's as far as I got. But over time, depending on where you belong, Krishna will send helpers to help you progress. And only at this point in my life am I beginning to understand the relationship, that love of God, that relationship that exists where you have confidence in the Lord's decisions, that He is the controller, and allow the Lord to guide you. Have complete faith in Him. Have complete faith that He will send what you need when you need it. He will maintain what we have and carry what we lack. He will also take care of His devotees. In all those years, I've never come across anything in the scripture that is proven untrue. And I don't bother to go to literature that is not written by a Vaishnava, a bona fide Vaishnav. I stick strictly with Srila Prabhupada and his parampara, which has proved to be an excellent sounding board, an excellent group of, they're not normal individuals, spiritually advanced, they're acharyas, very special souls. But watch the association that you're in, and try to come to, I know that you come to the programs, but the point I want to make is stay in devotional service. Don't give up, because at some point you will experience a change in the process, and you'll notice yourself if someone doesn't tell you, you're acting a little differently. I'm noticing something a little different about you. You will eventually progress. You will not progress if you become frustrated and back away from it. Maya would love that, or those that are inimical to you would love that. Don't give them that satisfaction. But there is hope. Any other comments or questions, and we'll end at this point? Thank you for actually sitting through this. I know it's cold outside. I know it was difficult sometimes to be motivated verbally and singing, but then that's okay too. The point that you're here makes a big difference. Always, it is good to have the association of devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premananda.